We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Verse 10, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters, and so they were destroyed. And how foolish of them, because of verse 11, God's character being exalted. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing what? Who's like God? There is no other God except God. There is no other God besides Yahweh. There is no other God. So how foolish for you to come against him. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You and your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The habitation, the holy habitation there is the tabernacle. He's talking about the habitation means home. It means dwelling. God dwelt in the tabernacle. That's where he dwelt as he's going to be leading Israel into the promised land. Verse 14, the people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty man of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them, and all the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. And so he's telling them right here, he says, the people are going to hear and be afraid. The people, as you go into the promised land, those people, they're going to hear and be afraid. And it says, and will melt away. Well, I want you to go over here to Joshua chapter 2, okay? Joshua chapter 2. Notice what it says here. Here we have Joshua that sent spies into Jericho in order to spy out the land. The king of Jericho heard about it. He sends men to go get them. And so Rahab takes them and hides them out in her house. And so now she's talking to the spies in verse 10, and it says, and this is her speaking, for we have heard. Well, we just read, the people will hear and be afraid. She says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We have heard. God's reputation went before him. All that he did there at the Red Sea, they have heard about that and other miracles and how he destroyed the armies of Sihon and Og. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Just like it says here, all the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Now watch what is said here. Here is Rahab, a Canaanite, okay, who's heard of the God of Israel. And look how she declares him. For Yahweh, your God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Here you have a pagan that knows the correct name of God, Yahweh. Who taught her that? God's reputation went before him. All that Moses spoke before Pharaoh went before him. Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? Who is this Yahweh, God of the Hebrews? They knew it. Pharaoh would also say Yahweh. He was introduced to the God of the Hebrews as the name being Yahweh. That has been known to all the inhabitants. And now the inhabitants in the land of Canaan have heard of the God of the Hebrews. And that his personal name is Yahweh. And she even uses it here. She even uses it here. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Verse 16 says, the fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Verse 16 is a reminder of the Passover. It's said twice there. Why? Because the lamb slain, the applied blood, the Lord passed over them. Atonement has been made to where now they qualify to pass over into the land. And how was this made possible? The 10th plague. You're going to take a lamb and you're going to apply the blood. And so when the Lord sees it, he passes over you. Atonement has been made by the blood, and it's the same today. It is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world for those who believe in the work he did on the cross. This is why we read in Acts 20, verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock. This is Paul speaking to the leadership. It says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. As an overseer, as a shepherd, to the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Again, I've used this several times. That's your mic drop for anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus is God. Someone explain to me how God purchased the church with his own blood. The word God there is theos. It means the God who created the heavens and the earth. Theos, the ultimate God, purchased the church with his blood. How did he do that if Jesus is not God? How did he do that? That only makes sense if Jesus is God. Thus, he shed his blood. And because Jesus is God, God can then say that he purchased the church with his own blood. Because Jesus is God. And if you don't believe that, then explain to me what that means. Okay? You will not be able to without doing some amazing gymnastics to try and pervert the truth. Verse 17, you'll bring them in, plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling. That will be the tabernacle. Okay? The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. This song is concluded. Now we have the summary. Now there's some who believe that 19 is part of the song. Okay. But if it is part of the song, it definitely concludes the whole song. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea. The Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. It seems to be like more of an addendum of why we just sang this song. We are given this before, and now this is the reason we sang this song, and now it's given that summary of the reason of why we just sung that song. And now we read about Miriam. And Miriam had a role in this song of Moses, but before we read about her role here, we're told something about Miriam. It says in verse 20, that Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, which makes her also the sister of Moses. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, now we're not told specifically what God spoke to her about, how God moved her to speak his words. We're not told that in Scripture, but here in chapter 12, it kind of confirms that God has spoken to her in times past, and she is a prophetess. But here in Numbers chapter 12, because God spoke to her in times past, and we don't know if it was one time, we don't know if it was a dozen times, we don't know how often God spoke through Miriam to be a prophetess to the people of God, but however many times it was, whether one or more, it certainly went to her head. And now she thinks that she has the same authority as Moses. And so we read here in verse 1 that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? That's her saying, I'm a prophetess. God has spoken through me. Has he only spoken through Moses? And for some reason, she doesn't think Moses being married to this Ethiopian woman was the correct thing to do. Interesting here. Who's the Ethiopian woman? Well, in Exodus 2, verse 16 through 22, we're told that the wife of Moses is Zipporah, the daughter of a man from Midian. So she's a Midianite. Some think that Zipporah might have died, and this is Moses' second wife, and he took, after her death, and he took an Ethiopian woman. Okay, possibly. He's 81 at this time. Others think that Moses took a second wife in addition to Zipporah. This is possible. It doesn't seem likely. Okay. Still others suggest that Jethro, Zipporah's father, was actually from Ethiopia and had moved to Midian making Zipporah an Ethiopian by birth, but living in Midian. Okay, I think that's kind of a stretch, but okay. It may also be possible that the Ethiopian here was a derogatory term. She's a Midianite, but it's a derogatory term because she was not truly a Hebrew, did not come from the true line of Abraham through Isaac. Remember, Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah, and that's where the Midianites came from, okay? But it says it twice, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, whatever the issue is here, whether she truly is an Ethiopian or it's used in a derogatory term because her skin color is a little darker than theirs, either way, she is using this in a derogatory fashion, okay, over something that this woman has no control over, her ethnicity. Her ethnicity. Now, let's see how God responds to this. Verse 2, they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. It literally says, and the Lord heard it. Ruh-roh. Just in the Hebrew. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. They're being taken to the woodshed. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward, and he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. We're going to get back to that, but it won't be until Exodus 33, which is many years from now. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. You should have that underlined. The form of the Lord. We were created in his image, but does God have form? I would submit to you, he does. And why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? It's a good question. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous as white as snow. I want you to see the irony here. Oh, you think the Ethiopian woman's skin is too dark? Well, let me make you as white as snow. White? Leprosy. I honestly believe you cannot talk about racism. You cannot talk about what God thinks of races without starting here. Because if you start here, you'd realize, you know what? This really makes God mad when we judge someone by the color of their skin. This really makes God mad. And in Acts chapter 17, we are told, Paul makes it very clear, we all come from one blood, Adam. How ridiculous to have prejudice about somebody because of the color of their skin. We are one in Christ. Our identity is a Christian. And when you identify in Christ, guess what? You don't see any of that stuff because you're now a Christian. And if you put anything before Christian, you are dividing up and God will get angry with that. I'm a white Christian. No, you're not. You're a Christian. I'm a black Christian. No, you're not. You're a Christian. I'm an Asian Christian. No, you're not. You're a Christian. You might happen to be Asian. Might happen to be black. Might happen to be white. Okay. That's fine. I'm a tall Christian. No, you're not. You're a Christian. You happen to be tall. Okay. You might like being tall. That's fine. You might like being whatever skin color you are. That's fine. But you are first and foremost a Christian. And it's interesting to me at the very beginning of calling his people out, when we see the very first type of prejudice happening, what God does with it. He says, let me nip this in the bud now. This is how much I don't like this. You don't like this skin color? Let's go to the very end of the spectrum here. I will make you as white as snow, and that's leprosy. That's harsh, but I think God got his point across. I think he got his point across. So then it says here, then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." Now, my question is, why isn't Aaron as leprous? And I would say, because the sin lies at her door, she's the one that led this charge. She's the one that started talking smack. He might have agreed, might not have said anything or whatever, but she is the one that led that charge. And because she led that charge, that is why it happened with her, okay? The Lord said to Moses, so Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Then the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days?" That is probably the worst thing that a father can do with a daughter. In that culture, it shows that you despise her, the height of anger that you have. And God is equating what she said to that. And God is now equating himself to a father who then spits into his daughter's face. "Let her shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So they're wondering, well, how come we're not going anywhere? Well, because Miriam's still out. Everybody knows about this. Everybody's going to hear about what Miriam said and what God did. And we don't see this issue being brought up again. I find it interesting. So 7 days, and then after that, she was probably healed immediately, but she had to stay outside for 7 days. So we have that issue there with Miriam. Now, then we read about her role in the Song of Moses. It would seem that she would then lead the women in a chorus of song as well as dancing to this song. She took the timbrel in her hand, probably a tambourine sort of instrument. All the women went after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." It almost seems like that as they're singing this song, as they learn this song, that just like when we sing up here, we'll say a stanza, and then there's a pause, and now all the ladies say the stanza, you know? And then we sing and sing, and then everybody sings this, and we pause, and then maybe the ladies sing that same stanza. It sounds like that's kind of what she is doing, that this is what she's saying over and over again, that "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, for the horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." And somehow through this song, these first 18 verses or whatever, there's a place where she now leads people to say that, you know, after maybe saying the first four verses, then she says that, next four verses, then she says that, or however that works. I'm not a worship leader, but it seems like she's just leading in that chorus. Now, I want to go back here to this statement, "The Lord is a man of war." Exodus 14:14, Moses said to the people, "The Lord will fight for you." And so here we see, after God has fought for them, how he's called "The Lord is a man of war." Later in this song, we see his victory came at his right hand, verses 6 and 12. And we also read of his right arm in verse 16 and his hands in verse 17. Now I'm going to take you through this thing and bring it back here to the Lord is a man of war. In Deuteronomy 31, the Lord commissions Joshua to be Moses' successor, okay? That he's the one that's going to lead the people in the promised land. Moses does not get to go into the promised land. He goes up to Mount Nebo and dies. And now Joshua is the guy that has been commissioned by the Lord. And so in Deuteronomy 31:23, it says, "Then he," God himself, "inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, 'Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you.'" Now, I want you to go over here to Joshua 1. Moses has now died, and so he is speaking to Joshua, okay? God is speaking to Joshua. I would submit to you that that Joshua knows the voice of God, that he is standing outside of the tent of meeting every time Moses would go in and hear from God. He would go up on the mountain as Moses would go up to the top of the mountain there in the cloud. He would stay back. He is always around Moses. He is his protector and everything else. And so he is around Moses a lot. And then as he's called in, God also speaks to him, and Moses being the next guy up, he's going to commission him. And so now Moses is dead, and we read in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you. And I said to Moses, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong, good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land, and at which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law," so the law of Moses had already been handed down at this point. "This book of the law of Moses, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So now go over here to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. Here we see Joshua begin to obey and lead the people of Israel. They've now crossed over the Jordan there. They're camping in a place called Gilgal, which is in the plains of Jericho. And then Joshua goes to check Jericho out, and we read in verse 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No.'" Doesn't quite answer the question. Okay. Because that's not the right question, Joshua. The question is, are you for him or against him? And so he says, "No. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." What does he do? "Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Why did Joshua fall on his face and worship him? Because Joshua knows the voice of God. And the moment he spoke, he knew. He knew. And so he falls on his face and worships. This is not an angel. This is the angel of the Lord, though. But it's not just a regular created angel. And if you've been with us, you know we've gone over this. But back when we went over Exodus chapter 3, okay, we took that whole teaching to go over the angel of the Lord, how many times it is said in God's word, and how it always brings it back. The angel of the Lord speaks of Yahweh, and it speaks of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, every single time. And as we'll be able to show here, the commander of the Lord is the angel of the Lord, is Yahweh, is the second person of the Trinity.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.